Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this morning. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all these services. You will always be warmly received. We also have a website for you to consider, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. At the website, you'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please check it out. Let us know what you think about it. This morning, we want to talk about you. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Can one love self without being interested in himself? We must have some interest in ourselves, but we must be careful of pride. Pride can destroy us, according to Proverbs 16 and 18. And God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, in James 4 and verse 6. And we know that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up, James 4 and verse 10. However, humility was never intended to destroy self-respect, nor does it negate one's love of self. Jesus made that plain in Matthew 22, verse 39. And Paul, in his instruction to husbands and wives, said in Ephesians 5, 28, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." We need to love the lost. We need to love our brethren. We need to love our spouse. We need to love our children. We need to love our parents. And we need to love our fellow man. And we need to love ourselves. If you don't, why not? With this thought in mind, let us examine together some things that make us a very important person. Let's discuss this morning some facts about you. First of all, you were designed for greatness. God had a great plan for man, and the pinnacle of that creation was man. Man was made in the image of God, the only one that can say that, in Genesis 1, verse 26. Man was given dominion over all of his creation, in Genesis 1, 28 through 30. We were created to have fellowship with our Creator, the only one of creation that is, according to Psalms chapter 8, verse 4 through 8. And who is heaven prepared for? It's prepared for those who love the Lord, 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. Number two, you are valuable. Our soul is the most important thing that we own in this world. What will a man give in exchange for a soul? And what does a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Why did God send his Son into the world? Because he loved it, according to John 3:16. Why did he die on that cross? Because he loved us while we were yet sinners, Romans 5, verse 28. Christ's respect for mankind is reflected in the fact that He died for them. He didn't die for the animals. He didn't die for the solar system. He didn't die for the plant life. He died for man. He died for those He loved. Read Hebrews 2, verse 9. He tasted death for every man. Every man is valuable to God. Therefore, you are valuable. You also are a creature of eternity. Jesus, in his teaching while on earth, said, "Don't fear him that can kill the body, but fear him that can kill the body and soul and cast into hell." The soul survives the death of the body. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and 23. Who is going to come forth at the resurrection? All that are in the graves, according to John 5, 28 and 29, by our Lord himself, and to a resurrection of life or resurrection of condemnation. Who will put on immortality? Those who are arisen, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 through 45. The final judgment is depicted in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 36. It uses the words like eternal life and everlasting punishment. There is a time when we are just mortal, but there is a time coming when we will be much more, for we will see Him and we will be like Him, 1 John 3 and verse 2. We are creatures of eternity. We live beyond the grave. We have an eternal existence that makes us very valuable. Number four, we are an accountable being. We have the ability to reason, to discern between what's right and what's wrong. We are free moral agents that determine our course in life and what we will do or what we will not do. According to Romans 14, verse 12, we will give an account for the choices that we made. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, the Bible says that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Man can only blame himself if he's lost. Who was to blame for the sin of Adam and Eve? Read the consequences in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. When punishment was passed on for transgression, it was given to the man, it was given to the woman, and it was given to the serpent. No one could pass the buck. Each were held accountable. No other creature of God's creation has the ability to discern, to reason, to think. And none of them are accountable to God except man. Number five, you determine your own state of happiness. Many times we feel frustrated by our lack of faithfulness or commitment to God, that we are not the best mate that we can be, that our children are not perfect, and a host of many other things that we can mention. What makes us happy? Those things that give you pleasure make you happy. Happiness is based on character, not on circumstance. Please read Matthew 5, 3 through 9. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Most people are as happy or miserable as they make their minds up to be." Much truth in Mr. Lincoln's statement. It is a biblical fact that your state of happiness is determined by what kind of person you are, and we determine that. Example, the children of Israel. What made them unhappy? Their decision to go contrary to God's will. But who made that decision? They made that decision. If I'm not happy about my Christian life, who can do something about it? You can, dear friend. You're the only one that can. Something else that a fact about all of us, we've all sinned. The Bible clearly states that all of us are in this same spiritual condition. In Romans 3, verse 3, it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." John said in 1 John 1, verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us." Sin, we know, separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Sin is a transgression of God's word, according to 1 John 3 and verse number 4. And all unrighteousness is sin, 1 John 5, verse 17. Sin should bring fear and tears to the life of all men. Tragically, it does not. It is the root of the greatest woes of mankind. Every ill of mankind can be traced back to sin. Others have sinned, but that not so hard to admit. But you have sinned. Not others, you have sinned. Being aware of that fact should bring anguish to your soul. Do you fully comprehend the terribleness of sin? Do you realize what will happen if you don't take care of it? Sin costs the life of God's only begotten Son, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. That death was for me. That death was for you. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We're all guilty. Without the blood of Christ, none of us could be redeemed, because all of us have sinned. Number seven, you are in Christ or you are in the world. Salvation is of Christ, 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. There's salvation in no other name, Acts 4, verse 12. All blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And salvation and forgiveness of sin is a spiritual blessing. If one is outside, are they saved or lost? No spiritual blessing. Cannot address God as Father, cannot pray to Him, have no hope, and without God in the world, how much more miserable could you be? Have you obeyed the gospel? That is who God loves, those that obey Him, Hebrews 5, verse 9. Can one be saved outside the body? Not according to Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6, there's only one body, and according to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 26, that body is going to be delivered up to His Father at the last great day. Which side are you on? Are you in Christ or are you on the outside looking in? Number eight, you will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Every one of you listening to this radio broadcast this morning are going to spend eternity somewhere. You can scoff at it. You can laugh about it. You can try to put it out of your mind. But facts are facts. We will spend eternity in one or the other. Can one truly spend eternity? No, that's impossible. Eternity cannot be exhausted, since it will never end. Time will come to an end someday on earth. The earth time as we know it, days, months, years, minutes, hours, those will come to an end someday. Time has no meaning to God, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Despite popular belief, hell is real and it does exist. If heaven is real, so is hell, my friend. They both raise or fall together. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, we get a glimpse into the judgment scene. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, we're told that he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that obey not the gospel of Christ and those that know not God. No one will escape one of those two final destinies. It'll either be life or it'll be death. It'll either be eternal life or it'll be eternal condemnation. Which will it be for you? Finally, you alone determine your destiny. Others can influence you in a positive or negative way. Friends, family, society, and even brethren. Encouragement and discouragement may be offered by others from various sources. Yet they do not have the final say in your life. All obedience is from the heart, according to Romans 5, verse 17. My faith, or my lack of it, is just that. It's mine. John 8, verse 24. Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. And without that faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Godly sorrow must produce in me, by me, for me, that I'm lost and that I need God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10 and 11. Which leads me to repentance, according to Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Then to confess Christ as my choice in my life, as the eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37. And to submit to baptism, not as a ritual, not as a ceremony, not as some people call water salvation, but to contact the blood of Christ that puts us in Christ. Read Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and also Romans 6, 3 and 4. Will you be faithful to death? That's what God called upon us to be in Revelation 2, verse 10. And if we love Him, Jesus Himself said, we will keep His commandments. Again, you make the call. It's all up to you. Now listen, dear listener, it does not matter what you owe. It does not matter how much money you have. It does not matter what your status in life is. It does not matter what your education level is. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in. It doesn't matter about the value of your house, the number of your friends in high places, what happens to my children, what does my mate do or don't do. When it is all said and done, the only one relationship that will be important, the only one that will matter, the only one that has eternal consequences attached to it, is your relationship with your God. In the final tally, when we stand before the judgment bar, all those things will pale in comparison to the answer to this vital question. Where do you stand with God? Since none of us know how long we have or when the Lord will return, what if I met God in that condition that you find yourself in at this very moment? If you had to stand before God at this precise moment in time, what is your condition right now? Think about it, dear listener. Your eternity and your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. Yes, you have many great qualities, but the greatest quality is you are a free moral agent, and it's up to you whether or not you obey God. Thank you.